All right. You're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line, we are very happy to have Alan Jennings, who is a journalist with Green Left, and he's also had experience in terms in that he has previously lived in Myanmar for over kind of 5 years. So we're going to be having a discussion with Alan, and this is drawing on some of the articles he's written for Green Left, where he's kind of written about the kind of links, examining the kind of economic ties that this kind of military regime in Myanmar has to Australian mining companies and other kind of capitalist kind of interests. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Jacob.
Now, I guess to start off this discussion for our listeners, in an article you wrote for Green Left in February, you alluded to the military regime, which has been responsible for this military coup, as having kind of particular economic interests tied to their rule. And I guess, what can you tell us about the background to this?
Yeah, well, people know that the country was run by the military for about 50-odd years. And in that time, they actually managed to use that power to build up a real empire of businesses, own private businesses, which literally owned by and benefit the military, especially the elite in the military, and former military as well, who have a special place in that. And to just give you some idea of the businesses that they own, there's two main conglomerates of businesses, about 140 different businesses. They're massive. And this includes two banks, one of the biggest banks in the country, lots of businesses within construction, and of course, if the Ministry of Defence is building something or making a road or whatever, they'll contract their own companies, and the profits will go into their own pockets. In tourism, in hotels, in land, and of the 140 businesses, about 40 or 50 of them are in mining, and this is where they make most of their money, particularly in the mines for rubies and jade, which is, you know, some of the biggest money-making businesses in the world. And even to the extent that the most popular locally made beer in the country, Myanmar beer, is owned by the military. So it's a real wide range of businesses they have. And literally the conglomerate they have is the biggest private business in the country.
And I just want to guess the kind of next question is, going back to the military coup, can there be links made between this coup that has been carried out by this military regime and, I guess, their economic kind of interests in the region? Was there a particular conflict between the actual government in power, and of course the actual military in the side?
Yeah, no, that's a really interesting and maybe contentious point, because even though, you know, the NLD, the National League for Democracy, Aung San Suu Kyi's party, won elections in 2015, ostensibly moving to a more democratic process in 2015. Really, the military's businesses haven't been touched and affected so much over these last 5 years. However, with the electoral victory again in November last year, and with an increased majority, Aung San Suu Kyi's party won 83% of the seats, a massive, landslide in anyone's, language. The military would have been concerned about losing some of their ill-gotten gains, and perhaps having more foreigners, more emboldened NLD scrutinising their business deals and maybe affecting their profits. And I feel sure that this is one of the major reasons for the coup right now. There's another factor that the head of the military, Min Aung Hlaing, who's now, the leader of the country, if you like, he has to retire within 6 months. And this may be an attempt also for his personal, you know, to maintain his personal assets and gains. Because they made up all these ridiculous reasons for the coup. Firstly, they did a Trump-like action saying that the elections were rigged and weren't effective, and we all know that's just fake. And then they said there were some charges against Aung San Suu Kyi, and everybody knows these are trumped up. So it seems like the main reason for the coup is for the military to keep their hands on their ill-gotten gains.
And I guess the next thing to note is, in your article, I want to kind of bring it to, I guess, Australia. You note that many Australian mining companies have historical ties to the military regime. And, of course, one of the things as well to note is our own government wasn't that quick to condemn the coup. I mean, they're condemning it now, but historically, but just recently, they took quite a while to actually change the position, because previously the Australian government has had a lot of support for the military regime and or the military in Myanmar in general. And I guess what has, I guess, been the position, I guess, of both our government and, I guess, these Australian mining companies in response to these kind of ongoing human rights violations that have been carried out by the military in Myanmar?
Yeah, it's been really interesting to watch. Firstly, on the mining companies, there's a number of mining companies active in Myanmar, and probably the best known one is Woodside Energy. Woodside, you know, obviously the Perth-based company, is Australia's biggest mining company. Now, Woodside has a license for drilling for liquid gas in the Rakhine Basin, which is just off Rakhine State. And initially they said, and the CEO said, look, you know, we're going to carry on after the coup. We don't really know if the accusations that the military has about the elections is correct or not. Basically, he just justified the coup. And that received a really big backlash, both here and in Myanmar. And here there was protest in Perth against, by the Myanmar community in Australia. And lots of, you know, feedback, to put it mildly, to Woodside about that. And they actually were forced to change their tack. And they actually have now said, and to me it's not perfect, but it's better than nothing, they've now said they're going to hold back on their, you know, development in Myanmar and just see until things settle down. Now, really, that's not good enough. They should say until, you know, democracy is restored. But at least they've pulled back a little bit. And basically it's been the sort of activists and the you know, ACTU in this case in Australia that has written to them and asked them to do that. So they've bowed to pressure. There's other mining companies which really have done nothing to condemn the coup or halt their, you know, their actions. There's another big mining company called the Myanmar Metals, which is an Australian company, and several others which have licenses for dig for minerals. The Australian government has been really pathetic on this. They haven't really even condemned the coup. I mean, basically that what they've done is stopped their development assistance to the military. I mean, that is nothing. I mean, they should have done that well before the coup. Why would they give development assistance to an organisation which the UN calls, responsible for genocide and human rights violations, specifically against the Rohingya? This is well before the coup, several years ago and ongoing. So they should be really forcing the Australian companies to not have anything to do with the Myanmar military. I mean, even the United States, the United Kingdom, have done that. They've actually sanctioned the military-owned companies. and not allowed their businesses to relate to them and to trade with them. So, you know, the Australian government's been really pathetic. It's really been weak. And if you look at the statement from the Foreign Minister, it's it almost says nothing.
Okay. Well, now the kind of last kind of question, I guess, is taking in everything you've kind of said about some of these, the economic ties that this the military regime have in kind of Myanmar, the links with Australian mining companies and other kind of international kind of capital. What has, I guess, been the kind of broad kind of international kind of response to kind of all these kind of issues? And what has been the sort of arguments that have kind of been put forward? And especially in response, what has been the response of some of these other countries, not just Australia, to the military coup?
Well, not surprisingly, the main trading partners with Myanmar are the neighbouring countries. And we're talking about the biggest countries on earth here. India on one side, China, you've got Thailand there, and to a lesser extent, Japan, Singapore, other Asian countries. And I just mentioned one example here. There's one company that we all know of, Adani, which is Indian-based country company building coal mines in Queensland. Adani has an ongoing agreement with the military, directly with the military company, $290 million contract giving to the military to build a port in Yangon. And they have clearly stated, and they've been on the back foot on this as well, stated they're going to continue in this because they're doing nothing wrong. However, there are other countries who've come to their senses, if you like. There's the Japanese beer company, which was in cohorts with the military on Myanmar beer. They've pulled out. Kirin, the name of them, their name. So there's been a mixed reaction, but the activists in Myanmar are saying that most of the money that comes to the military comes through mining, comes through extractive industries, and there's a simple request: stop giving money to the military. And so they're really calling for Australian mining companies and others as well, as particularly the European ones, to stop giving money to the military through royalties and through direct relations with the military companies. Very simple. They don't want to stop all trade altogether. They don't want to sanction everything, but targeted sanctions against every company that's related to the military, including the Cronin Company.
Okay. Well, thanks for that, Alan. We're kind of running a bit low on time now, but do you, have any kind of final comments you'd like to make?
It's really sad for me to see that for what's happening there. But in many ways, it's exciting to see. It's not exciting, but encouraging to see the strength, the resilience of particularly the youth in Myanmar who are fighting against this regime, and every day on the streets, even though they're risking their lives. It's really incredible to see that, and we should be supporting them in any way we can. And one way we can do it is to ensure that our government and our companies, Australian companies and others, are not supporting this genocidal regime.
Okay, very well said, Alan. I think that's a good kind of way to end it. And thanks for being on our program. And just for listeners' information, Alan will be speaking at a public forum being organised by Green Left, which is going to be happening next Thursday at 6:30 PM at the Red and Green Room at the Multicultural Hub, where Alan will be part of a panel of speakers discussing the coup in Myanmar and what we can do to kind of stand in solidarity with the protesters resisting the military coup.